It's good to be with y'all today. Now I say, I see y'all, but I can't see y'all. I hope y'all understand what I mean by that. We're all together, but we are together in the Holy Spirit's presence, and the Holy Spirit is what binds us together in one. So today I want to look at 1 Peter, the epistle Peter's writing. Traditionally, he is in prison, perhaps in Rome. We want to look together, beginning at in the very first chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 17 and reading through verse 23. Hear again the word of the Lord. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. Again, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Captain Charles Plum was a fighter pilot during the Vietnam War. He was on the Kitty Hawk aircraft carrier. On his 75th combat mission, just 5 days before his tour of duty was to be up, his plane was shot down by a surface-to-air missile. He was able to eject from the cockpit and to parachute safely down, but into enemy territory. He was captured and spent 6 years as a POW in a communist prison camp. He now lectures all around and about the lessons that he learned as a result of his very trying ordeal. One day he tells a story that when Captain Charlie, his wife, were dining in a restaurant, a man came over to his table and said, "You're Captain Plum. You flew jet fighters off the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk. You were shot down." And Plum asked, "Well, how in the world did you know that?" He said, "I packed your chute." Plum gasped in surprise and with gratitude. The man shook his hand and said, "I guess it worked." Plum said, "It sure did. If your chute hadn't worked, I wouldn't be here today." Captain Plum said that he went home that night and he couldn't get to sleep thinking about this man. He said, "I kept wondering what he would look like in a Navy uniform. Dixie cup hat, big bib in the back, bell-bottom trousers." He said, "I wondered how many times I might have passed him on the Kitty Hawk. I wondered how many times I may have passed by him and not even said, 'Good morning, how are you?' or anything. Because you see, I was a fighter pilot and he was just a sailor." Plum said he thought about how many hours that sailor had spent in front of a very long table deep down in the bowels of the ship, carefully weaving the shrouds and folding the silks of that chute. Every chute. Each time, holding the fate of someone he didn't know in his hands. Now Plum asks his audience, "Who's packing your chute?" Everyone has someone who provides what they need to make it through the day. And we're parachute people. We are. The Apostle Peter reminds us of that when he says we were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from our ancestors, not with perishable things like silver and gold. Now, of course, he's not talking about being saved from being a splat mark. by physical parachute. Peter is talking about a Christ chute, a provision sent by God in Jesus, spiritual standard equipment to save us from ourselves and our sins. It's the only thing that will save us from that kind of fall, that fall that began in Eden with Adam and subsequently passed down to each of us generation after generation. A fall from grace, a leap from the paradise God intended for us in His creation. Ransomed, restored and spared. We've been rescued by the precious blood of Christ, Peter says. The blood of Christ shed on the cross is the parachute of our salvation. With it, we're able to touch down on solid ground without the splat. We're given a chance to start all over again. It's like we've been born all over. Now, understand that I'm not one to attempt any kind of verification myself. But folks who do know say the most important thing about parachutes is you have to trust them. You're not always going to be able to see them since they're packed up tight and they're strapped on your back. Or rather, you're strapped to it. You're not supposed to fiddle around with them once you get it on. You shouldn't test it in the safety of your living room. Once they've been deployed, you really can't control them because the rush of the wind and your fall sees to that. You simply have to trust them and put your faith in them as they open over your head like a giant billowy mushroom, beautiful, all to save your hide. Peter's point should be clear. God has provided the parachute, but it is we who must trust. It was God's plan for Jesus to save us from the foundation of the world. The divine Department of Research and Development put the Jesus plan in place long before we began to spin sinfully out of control, falling headlong toward eternal destruction. And just before impact, right before humanity bottomed out in hell and death, Jesus was revealed at the end of the ages for our sakes. He popped onto the scene and provided humanity with the means to stop its descent into a life of shallow existence, of quiet desperation. Or what one author has called the postmodern malaise of contented apathy. Or what Scripture calls rebellion, disobedience, sin. Could be one, all of the above, one from column A, one from column B. And because of this, Peter says, you have come to trust in God who raised Jesus from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are set in God. Now, the purpose of Jesus' sacrifice of Himself isn't to give us a nice little recreational life jumping out of a perfectly good airplane for the thrill of it, but to save us from death in order that we might have a new and more abundant life. A life where we can trust in God and set our faith and hope in Him. In other words, the point of the Christ chute is to send us back up flying again, flying high and flying right. Maybe for the first time ever. So, what does the life of parachute people look like? Now, according to Peter, it involves the purification of our souls, of cleaning out all the junk that's up in there by obedience to the truth. The truth being the life, death, resurrection, and glorification of Jesus Christ. Nothing cool or clever. Nothing ironic or abstract. Nothing new. It's obedience. It's a deep and heartfelt connection to the one person sent by God to show us the way to live and to rescue us from despair and death. When we're obedient to Jesus, when we truly are disciples who are learners, we're tied to the chute so tightly that it can hold us even if we start to fall. No more splat. And Peter wraps this passage up by saying that the purpose of this faith is for us to have genuine mutual love. And if that's not clear enough, he says, love one another deeply from the heart. One of my favorite preacher types is Barbara Brown Taylor. She tells a story about her nephew Will's first birthday party. Now, as you might expect with a toddler's first birthday party, he was the center of attention, especially when he started doing his little happy dance. Everybody took pictures and filmed and all that. But all of a sudden, one of the other small children, a jealous child, an older child named Jason, charged over to Will and he shoved him as hard as he could right in the middle of his chest. And Will went down bottom first, then his head cracked on the hard floor. No one had ever heard him before. He didn't know quite what to make of it all. And after a moment of stunned silence, of shock, he began to howl, but not for long. His mother came and picked him up, and she hugged him, and he stopped crying. And the first thing little Will did was to toddle over to Jason. Now, he understood that Jason was the cause of his pain. But since jealousy and meanness was all new to him, he didn't know what to do. So he did what he always did. He put his arms around Jason and laid his little head on that little old meanie's body. What Will did to Jason was to put an end to the meanness in the room. See, that's what love is. That's the kind of love that Peter was talking about. The kind of love that Jesus talked about. Not some kind of warm, fuzzy feeling between like-minded friends who think alike, act alike, and watch the same news programs all the time. But rather the plain old imitation of Christ, who took all the meanness of the world on himself and he ran it through the filter of his own body, repaying evil with good, giving pardon instead of blame, trading death for life. Amazing. And you can call it divine reverse psychology if you like. It worked once. It can work again. Whenever God can find someone else who's willing to give it a try. Are you willing to give it a try? To show mutual affection, even with people you disagree with, to love one another from the heart, regardless? Are you willing to purify your soul, to get all the past junk out of there by your obedience to the truth of Christ? Can you set your faith and hope in God? The same God who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory. And if so, you'll be like you've been born all over again. You might find yourself sailing on the wind of God's Spirit, avoiding the hard landing of sin, of being saved from despair, rescued from regret. Why? Because it's Jesus who packs your chute. As a matter of fact, he is the parachute. Amazing. This past week, I saw Captain Charlie's TED talk that he gave a number of months ago. He said something like this. He said this, "Adversity is a terrible thing to waste. 6 years in a North Vietnamese prison camp called the Hanoi Hilton, enduring abuse at the same time as Admiral Stockton and John McCain, communicating with one another with little pulls on ropes, little codes that they had to make up in order to stay sane." He said he remembers feeling bitter, and he got a message coded to him that said, "You know, acid does more damage to the vessel it's in than to what it's poured on." And Captain Plum said, "I had to let go of all that." And so in a time of ours, certainly a time of adversity, certainly a time of less freedom than we might be used to or even what we might like, in the time of a little pause, it might be good to ask yourself the question, who's the one packing my chute? Who is it that gives me what I need to make it through the day? Is it all the stuff out there? Or is it those people who invested in my life to help me make a difference in the world? Who's really the one packing your chute? Who or what really gives you what you need to make it through the day? Is he or she or it or they really enough? Ultimately, I believe the answer is the only chute packer that matters is Jesus. Amen. Our closing hymn is an old hymn, one of my favorites. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And as you're sitting in your home today, I invite you to go to the Lord and ask the question, "Lord, help me to see what it is, who it is that packs my chute. Of those things that are fleeting and fading away, Lord, replace them with yourself. Help me to trust. Help me to trust." Let us sing together as we stand.